When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune in to the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
Thank you, Draymond. And tune in for Warriors Live today. Word and Dibs, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. Yeah, I would say that's very suggestible. 5 o'clock the tip, and Warriors Live starting at 4 o'clock, an hour before the game, and then after. We have your calls and texts with Warriors wrap-up. So, Warriors, Grizzlies, tonight, 5 o'clock, be there or be square. Always a fun game. And Dennis Schroeter making his Golden State Warriors debut tonight. That should be fun. Hopefully, John Morant is playing because he is one of those guys right now that is must-see TV whenever he is out on the floor. Speaking of must-see TV, these 49ers last three games. You know, a lot of 49ers fans are probably checked out of the season. Oh, we're not in the playoffs. We're not going to the Super Bowl. We're out. No. There's a lot at stake here in these final three
games.
The NFL,
there's always something at
stake. There's always something to play for. And 888-957-9570, we're talking about trust right now. And who do you trust the most? Or who do you trust the least? When I ask you about Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Brock Purdy, give me one or the other. If you're feeling iffy on someone, I don't want that. But if you were strong and feeling, no, I trust Brock Purdy the most, or I trust Kyle Shanahan the least. I want to hear that. 888-957-9570 is the number. Sam Lubman.
Yeah, again, I think I've made it clear. Shanahan, it's weird because like there's definitely a low level of trust with Shanahan, but I do know that there are things that he can do well. I do believe, again,
what does he do well?
That middle of the draft, we know he's done great there. He's got to do a little bit better in those early parts of the draft. I don't want to say he's done horrible in the first round because Nick Bosa has been great. Brandon Ayuk has been great. You need to do better than just two, though, but he hasn't been awful in the first round. But, he's got his strikes in the draft.
Separating the draft part, because John Lynch is obviously a part of that as well, and obviously Kyle Shanahan's head coach, he runs everything. Kyle runs the show. We used to have old drop that BPA said, which is true. Kyle runs the show. But speaking X's and O's, I want to stick on with Kyle Shanahan. Do you trust him as the offensive quote-unquote guru of this team right now? I'm hearing a lot of the word reinvent when it comes to Kyle Shanahan and this offense. Do you trust that he could reinvent himself heading into next season, Sam Lubman?
No, I would need to see it before I believe it. I think Kyle Shanahan is very much in the camp of, I believe I can do it my way. And why shouldn't he think that way? I mean, he came about as close to winning a Super Bowl as you could possibly get without winning one last year, doing it his way. I mean, he's gotten to close to the top twice doing it his way. Yeah, if you're Kyle Shanahan, and you're convinced that, you know what, I've gotten there close, just a few things go differently, I think I'm holding a Lombardi trophy. Yeah, I could see Kyle Shanahan thinking that. And it's just, what have we seen in his 8 years here that makes you think that he would reinvent himself? How much of his style has really changed in the time that he's here? I just don't know if that's Kyle Shanahan's MO to look himself in the mirror and ask himself those hard questions. What do I need to do differently, and how can I do it? I think he's going to keep trying to do it his way. There'll be tweaks here and there, but if you're looking for a full-on reinvention, I'm not going to say he's not going to do it because everyone's capable of the change, but if you're asking me if I believe in, if I trust in that reinvention happening, no, right now I don't think I would.
Dave in San Francisco, Oreo Cookie out in Oakland. I'll get to you in a second. 888-957-9570. Before I get to you, Dave, I want to hear from Greg Cosell, who joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday on, you know, he was asked this question, if Kyle Shanahan needs to change up his style or, quote unquote, reinvent himself.
This is not the first time that the league would be looking at Kyle Shanahan's offense. He's been coaching in the league for a long time and doing a lot of the same things in terms of what he does. All coaches have kind of, you know, a template of what they do. Now, can they add to that? Can they adjust? Sure. And if they're talking about, you know, maybe making some adjustments, I can understand that. I think every coach, let's put it this way. My guess is Kyle's trying to do that anyway, whether they're successful or not. We're not going to know the answer to that. But there are certain things that you have to be able to do, and if those things don't happen, like if they can't run the ball, okay, let's just say if they can't run the ball, it's going to be really hard to have a consistent offense, because as good as Purdy can be as a certain kind of quarterback, he's not going to take over a game in the way that, you know, Mahomes or Allen or Lamar Jackson can. He can't do that. So they need to be able to run the ball. Now, if you want to talk about whether he's got to change his run game, you know, that's a different question. And there's not 1,000 things you can do in the run game.
Well, that's just it. Like we're seeing it now. If you don't have the run game, this team is just not good offensively. And I think there needs to be a reinvention right there. If you're that reliant on the running game, something's wrong, because the league's adapting. They're adjusting to this Kyle Shanahan offense, whether it's McVay style running it off that, whether it's LaFleur, whether it's O'Connell, whether it's all these guys, Zach Taylor. Like, you need to adjust. And if my quarterback is only as good as the weapons around him, which a lot of people are saying, maybe I need to pivot a little bit more to a passing game and lean into that. 888-957-9570, Sam Lubman. Dave in San Francisco wants to weigh in. Who do you trust the most, or who do you trust the least when it comes to John Lynch, Shanahan, Purdy? What's going on, Dave? You're on the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Lubman.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just want to say I trust Lynch the absolute least. We want to put a premium on high draft picks, and he's whiffed so bad on these picks. I mean, go back to his first pick, Solomon Thomas. He drafted him because he was his classmate. And just taking a look at the recent ones, you have Moody in there. He's actually whiffed that. Cameron Latu, he's whiffed that. Drake Jackson, Tre'Davious Davis-Price, he's whiffed those. And the person I trust the most is Kyle Shanahan. I mean, if you look out there in the league, who can you replace him with? I mean, you got the offensive coordinator for the Lions, who's never had a coaching job. I mean, Shanahan's been in this for a while, and he's taken the Niners to, what, 3 Super Bowls with Jimmy? I mean, he's pretty mediocre, as we can see, after he's left the Niners. And then you have Brock, Mr. Irrelevant, that he's taken to the Super Bowl. I think we have to pump it on the brakes with get Kyle out of here, because he's done a lot with very little.
All right. That's Dave in San Francisco. He does not trust John Lynch right now. Thank you, Dave.
What do we even trust John Lynch to do? Because, I mean, to Dave's point, I mean, he said, you know, he's got all these draft picks that he's made, but like Kyle Shanahan is making those picks. Like Kyle Shanahan is saying, John, I want that guy. John, I want that guy. Like, this is,
you don't think
Kyle Shanahan runs the show here.
So like, John Lynch is just, he's irrelevant to the conversation.
I think John Lynch is more or less a glorified I dotter and T crosser when it comes to these contracts. Well, I think he
walked on the sideline yesterday and told Devondre Campbell to kick rocks.
No, I think
so
he's a public face of the franchise. I think he's a guy who can, he's a guy you put out there to represent your franchise in the public sector. If he's the guy speaking for your franchise, being the face in that sense, I think he's good for that. Yeah, I think he's good for kind of being that player liaison, because he's played too, so he has that ability to connect with the players as well, and that's kind of where I think where being able to handle situations like that, what happened with Devondre Campbell, comes into play there. But me personally, this is how I look at it from the outside looking in, and there's probably people down who are, you know, walking around Levi Stadium who are more privy to the situation than I am, but my guess is on draft day, Kyle Shanahan is the one who's saying the name that the Niners draft, not John Lynch. You know, John Lynch might be the guy who calls up, you know, the commissioner, whoever it is that handles the picks on draft day, and says we're taking Ricky Pearsall. But Kyle Shanahan, I believe, is the brain behind these draft picks. So honestly, you know, we're talking about trust. Like, I kind of put a lot of trust in John Lynch just because, I mean, I don't think the role that he is in terms that he does with the Niners is an easy one that you can trust him with.
All right. 888-957-9570. Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz is going to join us at 8 o'clock. Sam Lubman from our sister station out in Miami, 560 WQAM. And he's got some thoughts in regards to Brock Purdy, I'm sure, Tua, this whole matchup, contracts. And I'd love to get his thoughts on Mike McDaniel as well, because I do believe Shanahan does miss his boy, his former OC, Mike McDaniel. They were together in Denver. They went through a lot together. They're very good family friends. So I do wonder how much Kyle Shanahan does miss Mike McDaniel. And is Mike McDaniel's act growing tired over in Miami? They paid Tua. They paid Waddle. They made the big trade and paid for Tyreek Hill. And really, they've been one and done twice in the playoffs, and they were in the freezing cold last year, and Tua looked pedestrian at best. Let's go out to some more of our callers here. 888-957-9570 is the number. Do we still got Oreo cookie? Is that Oreo cookie? Check that. Let's go to Dave out in Fresno. He wants to join in the conversation. Dave, what's going on, man? You're on Spadoni and Lubman.
Yeah, good morning, fellas. Good stuff this morning. I just wanted to get in. You're talking about trust. Quite frankly, my trust issues with this team has gotten worse, and I can't really pinpoint who to trust because they really don't really have, like, designated titles. We don't know who makes the decisions. Is it Kyle and Lynch? So we don't know. But I want to say Kyle, but I can't. My trust issues have gotten worse. He said no to Tom Brady. You know, the whole Trey Lance thing, everything that's happened since then, it's hard for me to trust going forward with that. And the whole thing with Brock, like, you get people that call in and they're not happy with him. And you're saying, well, find a quarterback. Well, that's not our job, is to find the quarterback. That's their job. If we feel he's not the guy, maybe there's another Brock or a player that's in the draft that we don't know about that can throw the ball past 30 yards, that they need a scout.
So you're saying draft a quarterback real quick, Dave. You're saying draft a quarterback, kick Purdy to the curb, and we'll figure it out there. So you're basically just waving the white flag on the next couple seasons then.
This is what I would do. This is what Dave from Fresno would do. This is what Dave would do. I would say you can play on your rookie deal, all right? And then I'll offer you a 2-year, 60 mil. If you don't like it, you can go test your market. Because in my opinion, there's no market for Brock Purdy. No team is going to pay a lot of money for Brock. Not the Tennessee. If you look at the team, not the Browns, not the Jets, no team is going to be like, hey, we will trade you premium picks or we'll pay him a big contract. No team will do that other than the 49ers. So if you want to go out there and you want to say, hey, I'm worth this, go. If you can get that, God bless you, bro, because no team's going to do it but us, because you are good in our system, and I feel like you need us more than we need you.
That's Dave out in Fresno. Dave, thanks. I appreciate the call. 888-957-9570. Who do you trust the most right now, or who do you trust the least when it comes to John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy? I'll say this. If you play that game, the Niners could easily screw themselves in that situation. Well, like, envision this. They try to do that and say, you know what, Brock? Yeah, we don't think you can get paid elsewhere. You go test the waters. You can hold out, do your thing. Go figure it out. And then what do you pivot to? Kirk Cousins? You pivot to, the Pastronaut, Brandon Allen? Come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's
not going
to
work out.
Do we really trust Kyle Shanahan to pick another quarterback? Again, let's take a look at these quarterback decisions that Kyle Shanahan has made. The first quarterback decision he made was after he got hired. He made the decision to pass on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson because he wanted to wait for Kirk Cousins. So the decision was pass on them, wait for Kirk, sign Brian Hoyer, draft C.J. Beathard. That was an absolute disaster. Now, again, Hoyer and Beathard, they were never meant to be great quarterbacks for the 49ers. Those were placeholders, but that was always a skeptical decision, even in the moment. But then you come to Kyle's first good quarterback decision, which he didn't really make, and that was Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Jimmy, he's been through the ringer here with this fan base, and you know he's become Mitty G and all those things. But when that move happened, it was working out for the 49ers. That was a quarterback decision that Kyle made that worked out for the 49ers, because Jimmy turned that team around right away at the end of that 2017 season. A couple years later, he is leading them to the Super Bowl. Kyle didn't so much, he made that decision, but it was more or less dropped into his lap. He got a bit of a mana from heaven on that one.
He gets credit for making the trade.
No, he did make the trade. Well, I mean, and John Lynch, no, they get credit for making the trade.
Yes.
But let's not sit here and act like Kyle Shanahan had a light bulb go off in his head and like, you know what? Let's go get Jimmy G. Bill Belichick simply said, hey, Kyle, your dad's cool. You want this quarterback. That's a bit of a lucky break there. I'm not saying that dad helped him out there, but dad's name helped him out there.
He's not lucky once, but twice, you're saying? See, I don't
believe that. Well, see, here's the thing, because then he moves on. Then he tries to make the move for Trey Lance, and it backfires horrifically. He runs him up the middle. He gets him hurt. Trey Lance is now third string behind Cooper Rush in Dallas. And Kyle Shanahan, for all intents and purposes, should have been fired when that pick went belly up. The only reason his job was saved is because Brock Purdy emerged out of nowhere to be better than I think a lot of people anticipated. Now, you could say that, you know, Mike Shanahan saw in training camp that he was going to be great, all that stuff. I don't think anybody anticipated Brock being so good so fast. And that saved Kyle Shanahan's ass. So the two best quarterback decisions that have been made under Kyle Shanahan were more or less kind of came about by luck. And so this is going to be him having to make a fifth quarterback decision. And when it comes to the four decisions he's made, the bad ones have been the ones that he decided to make on his own power. The good ones are the ones that just like, yeah, it worked out well for you. So in that situation, no, I am not trusting Kyle to pick a fifth quarterback going into his ninth season. And I'll say it right now. If
say
Kyle
it.
Shanahan really
you
does,
say it.
I'm going to say it. Call me Mike Florio because I'm going to say what I said. Oops. If Kyle Shanahan does decide to pivot off Brock Purdy for Kirk Cousins or Sam Darnold, just fire him right then and there. And
save I said what I said.
And save us the agony that we would have to go through next season. Because if you add one of those two to this roster, you're not getting closer to a Super Bowl. You're just running in play. It's like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it's not going to get you anywhere. So just save us the struggle. Don't do it. And if you do, let's just pivot right then and there and just start moving forward. Because in no universe, when you're walking out of Allegiant Stadium and the first thought in your mind is Brock Purdy isn't good enough, and I'm quoting Joe Shasky on that one, that was his first thought, and your pivot is, oh, Brock isn't good enough to beat Patrick Mahomes. You know who is? Sam Darnold. Like, come on. Brock isn't good enough to take the Niners past Patrick Mahomes. You know who will, though? A really old and immobile Kirk Cousins. Like, when you say it out loud, it just sounds ridiculous. So, no, I'm not trusting Kyle Shanahan to pick another quarterback. Reinvent the offense. That's what you need to do, which, again, I don't trust you to do that either. And make it less predictable. Spadoni, when I watch these Niner games, I have a spreadsheet that I track all these plays on. You know, that's just my way of kind of remembering what goes on. I'll show it to you. It's pretty impressive.
It's the flex moment of the show right there.
And it's just my way of kind of keep track of what's going on, remembering the games and stuff like that. The amount of times I am typing up the words, you know, stretch run to left, stretch run right, stretch run left, stretch run right. It's like it's nauseating. It's every single play. Oh, second and six. Oh, he's probably going to run it to the left here. Oh, third and four. Oh, they're probably going to run it up the middle. It is a very predictable offense. I'm watching this Cal UNLV game last night in the LA Bowl, the Art of Sport LA Bowl hosted by Gronk. Which the fact that that's a thing you could say for a bowl game is wild in
how
its own right.
How packed was it at SoFi Stadium?
It was a very entertaining game, though, all things considered, less so if you're a Cal fan, but, you know, Cal fans are used to that. But there were some plays in that game last night where I'm watching some of these creative jet sweeps and end-around plays that the Rebels and the Bears were running. I'm thinking, Kyle Shanahan should be watching this game and taking notes, because these are some very creative, inventive plays. Granted, it's a bowl game, so you're going to, you know, dust things off a little bit here. You know, last game of the season, you know, can't hold out now, or whatever that line is from Waterboy. Shout out Obscure References. That's what we need to see from Kyle Shanahan. Stop with the same run plays over and over again and just do something different, because clearly the league has figured you out. It's hurting your quarterback. It's hurting your team. And it's a part of the reason why the 49ers are in the situation they're in right now.
That's Sam Lubman alongside Joe Spadoni here. 888-957-9570 is the Morning Roast, filling in for Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. They're getting pampered. They're getting their mani-pedis done before the Doobie Awards, which are tomorrow, from Laughing Monk Brewing out in Sunnyvale from 6 to 10 a.m. be there or be square. Visit 95.7thegame.com now for more details and to RSVP. We're talking about trust right now when it comes to the 49ers. Who do you trust the most or who do you trust the least? And we have a poll up on Twitter at MorningRoast957. Who do you trust the most? Right now, John Lynch leading the way at 40% of the vote. Behind him, Kyle Shanahan with 32%, Purdy at 18%, and none of the above at 10%. So John Lynch getting the most trust from the fan base right now. Purdy with the least amount of trust. 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Will. He's in Berserkly. He wants to join the conversation. What's going on, Will? Who do you trust the most or who do you trust the least right now when it comes to the 49ers?
I'm in Berserkly. No, I'm kidding. you know.
Yeah, we are.
It's a little complicated. So I think we have suffered what's called this, you know, what do they call it, attrition in terms of the last few times we've been in the Super Bowl. Because now Kyle Shanahan has now gotten what's called imposter syndrome. And he is slowly falling into, can I do it? Can I do it? So I do feel like even though I trust him and I think that he is that coach, he is him, I do feel that he is slowly turning into, oh God, can I do this now? Because he has failed over and over and over. And it's really, it looks sad because you see it on his face. You see in these last couple of games, I just see this guy, man. He looks all scruffy and he's not looking too well. And so I trust Kyle, but he needs a slap in the face. Yo, wake up, man. You are him. I do not trust the defensive coordinator because I feel like they jumped the gun too fast on Steve Wilks. And I think that they got too many of these like rumblings of like, oh, this and that is happening. You know, when Steve Wilks first started and he was up in the booth, everybody was tripping on that. It was like, you know, now he came down and then a couple of things happened. Look, just steady the ship. We are the Niners. You hear me, guys? Bay Area, we are the Niners. Let's get this ship steady, back on track, and I think we can do it.
There you go. It's Will in Berkeley. That wasn't a very convinced we are the Niners, by the way. That's kind of symbolic of the entire season.
We're
the Niners, guys.
The
yeah,
Niners.
You know, well, no.
Got to throw some gravitas out. Yo, Will brings up a good point that I want to explore right here when it comes to trusting Kyle Shanahan. Because, again, I'm a Kyle Shanahan skeptic, but I will also acknowledge the things that he does do well. You know, like, as much as I'm skeptical on him, I'm not going to bang the table and say you need to fire him because I don't know if he's actually positioned himself to be fired. It's a weird situation here with Kyle Shanahan.
He's not on the hot seat.
No, that's he's not.
First and foremost, he's not on the hot seat.
I don't think any – I have never seen a coach in any sport ever get as much heat – for their decision-making, as much criticism for their in-game tactics as Kyle Shanahan, but still have a seat as cold as Kyle Shanahan. He is a walking contradiction, Kyle Shanahan, in terms of just the frustrations with him, but at the same time, like it's hard to justify wanting to fire him. But what Will brought up...
You just said fire him if they go after Sam Darnold. So
well, that would be a different situation.
You literally just said that 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, that would be a different situation, though.
10-minute soliloquy, Sam Lubman.
Yeah, I know, and that would be a different situation. If he does, then I would say, yes, fire Kyle Shanahan. That's when the body of work hits that level. There's nuance to these things, Spadani.
Oh, he's a man of nuance,
I am a man of nuance.
Wow.
I am a dynamic human being. But the coordinators... I think there's some legitimate, if you have trust issues with Kyle Shanahan, it should be over his ability to pick coordinators right now. Because the last couple of years, they have left something to be desired. Steve Wilks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It was clearly never a fit. You look at Steve Wilkes' resume, he is a one and done everywhere he has gone. So I think that was a red flag. There was no fit there. I don't know if maybe if Wilkes was back this year, would it be a little bit easier? I don't know. But when Nick Bosa is throwing you under the bus, that kind of speaks volumes in terms of just how far Wilkes's influence carried in that locker room last year. And then Nick Sorensen, it's you say the name and you're going to piss 49er fans off. 49er fans clearly do not believe in him. I do think Kyle Shanahan struggled to find some good corners around him. Chris Forster, who's the offensive corner slash running game coordinator slash something fake title because Kyle Shanahan calls the plays. We're going to see a guy this weekend on the sideline in Miami Gardens at a Hard Rock Stadium, Mike McDaniel, who once upon a time was a driving force for this 49ers offense as Kyle Shanahan's offensive coordinator. The Jets recently let go of a guy earlier this year in Robert Saleh, who was once a dynamic presence for the 49ers on the sideline as the defensive coordinator. D'Amico Ryans out in Houston was another great coordinator hire for Kyle that he has lost. Kyle, I think, let's be honest, he has struggled to replace those guys. He has struggled to find coordinators at the level of Mike McDaniel, D'Amico Ryans, and Robert Saleh. And I do believe, don't ask me to name names, I am not that deep in the weeds when it comes to coordinator options, but I do believe that if Kyle Shanahan can find better options to stand next to him on the sideline as coordinators, I think that would go a long way in terms of making this team a better football team going into the 2025 season.
Damon, Jan, and John, I will get to you in just a second, 888-957-9570. In regards to Brock Purdy and questions about him, here's what Brian Baldinger had to say on Tuesday when he joined the Morning Roast for his weekly appearance, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, the River Islands, in Lathrop? Baldy, on the 49ers, having a big decision this offseason when it comes to Purdy.
Well, Jed York and John Lynch have a big decision to make. I mean, because the amount of money being paid to, you know, your star quarterbacks right now is $55, $60 million. That's going to be an investment that's going to basically, you know, a lot of guys are going to, you're going to have to depart. You know, you're going to be limited by what you can do. If you do that, and they have to make that decision. Now, obviously, you wouldn't base anything off playing in the monsoon and the poor performance by everybody in that game, but that's the million-dollar decision that the 49ers got to make right now. Because if you make the wrong decision, and he's a guy that's a declining player, which it sort of looks like right now, then you're going to be a bottom feeder for a while.
That's Brian Baldinger on the Morning Roast. And Baldy's not playing any games. And I know everyone wanted to take his little snippet that he had, that he'd have the conversation in regards to Sam Darnold for Brock Purdy. People are taking away and running with it. By the way, not giving any credit to the Morning Roast for 95.7 The Game. Thank you, Colin Coward. 888-957-9570. It is what it is. Damon in the city wants to join in the conversation, though. Damon, who do you trust the most or who do you trust the least when it comes to Lynch, Shanahan, or Purdy? What's going on, man?
I'll start off with the least. What's up, guys? I'll start off with the least. Least is going to start off with Brock Purdy. He just reminds me too much of Jimmy G. It started off hot, but this season just made me really question his arm strength, the repeated injuries, just as far as some of the decision-making. He just hasn't been effective in a dump, tie up a lot of money in him, just like Baldy was saying. I mean, you tie up a lot of money in them, there's not going to be enough money to spread around. And what are we saying? Brock Purdy needs these pieces in order to be great, in order to be good. And I think the league is, you know, kind of caught up to him. He hasn't adjusted. Next will be Shanahan. Going back to what you guys were saying earlier, one of my big things with Shanahan is that when we needed a quarterback, when we had Brian Hoyer, we passed on Mahomes. We passed on Josh Allen. We passed on, you know what I mean? We passed on good
Sean Watson
quarterbacks that are great now. Yeah, Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson. When we needed a QB. And, you know, and not only that, Brady. We had a chance to go after and get Brady. You pass on Brady and then double back after and, hey, Brady, you still want to play? Would you come play for us? And Brady turns him down. So
Aaron Rodgers on the table for a hot second. Question.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he passed on a lot of great quarterbacks that would, you know, we probably have a championship right now. Hey, Brady left and went and got a championship right away, you know. So, yeah, just that and Shanahan itself. I mean, his play calling, you know, the team, we've been at the top of the food chain for a while, and teams have been eyeing us. They dissected what Shanahan is doing, and, you know, they found out, you know, okay, this is how you play against him. And Shanahan hasn't really countered that. He's kind of been stuck, you know, and so – you know, that's why I would say Shanahan second, and I could still run with Lynch. I mean, I haven't seen anything that, like, you know, really makes me question. But definitely Purdy. If we pay Purdy, I just feel like we're going to either get a product that will just keep us kind of relevant but never a threat to the Super Bowl. And, you know, the way he's played this year, I don't know how he's going to be going forward.
Thanks, Damon. I appreciate the call, man. We got to get some of the other calls here. 888-957-9570. Trust level right now when it comes to John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy. Who do you have the most trust in, or who do you have the least amount of trust in when it comes to those three guys, Sam Lubman?
I mean, the comment that Dave brought up, I think it's a very relevant one because a lot of other people have brought it up. Steve Young referenced it. Brian Baldinger referenced it. It's that it's this notion that if you pay Brock, you're automatically kneecapping the roster. We talked about this earlier. This is why I think Prague should be on this list too, how much you trust him. But, like, are we sure, absolutely sure, that Brock...
75%, real quick, 75%, 90%, we don't know what even Prague Marathe looks like. So we're not... He's going to be lumped in with John Lynch at this point.
That's small potatoes, though, in this conversation, though. But
he's lumped in with Lynch.
Okay,
let's
that's fine.
Wow,
we can do that.
Dude.
Yeah. But, like, are we sure that a Brock deal will kneecap the ability to put players on this roster? Spadoni, you brought up a very good point the other day.
Thank you.
The Philadelphia Eagles, I got to be specific, you bring up a lot of really good points. The Philadelphia Eagles, they have paid a lot of people on that roster as well. They have a quarterback that they gave a lot of money to who is not one of the elite four quarterbacks in Jalen Hurts.
Very good. I'd say he's top 10, but yeah.
No, he's top 10. He's a very, very good quarterback. And, you know, that's it. When you if you don't have one of the elite four quarterbacks, you got to have guys around your quarterback that can help him out. Jalen Hurts needs A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. You know, Brock Purdy needs Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. That's just the reality for quarterbacks of that level. Jared Goff needs Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs helping him out on offense. But are we certain that paying Brock kneecaps the roster because the Eagles have paid everybody? They're figuring it out. So it's clearly possible. You look at the money that the Niners have next year that they have to pay people. You have eight guys who are going to be making at least $10 million or more on this team next year. One of those guys is Charvarius Ward, who's set to make just a smidge under $13 million. That he's not going to be here next year. Another big one I'm looking at is the near $22 million that Trent Williams and his age 37 season is set to make. And that's one where I think if you're looking to cut costs next year, it's crazy that we're bringing this up, but I don't know what we're going to be seeing from Big Trent these next three games. We haven't really seen a whole lot to depend on him this year. 37 years old for one of the most demanding positions in all of professional sports. You know, Jalen Moore, he's been serviceable in that left tackle spot. You got a draft as well. That's a place you can cut cost on. And then, of course, Deebo Samuel, he's got, you know, about $16 million that he's set to make next year. And again, we've said it a couple times on the show. It feels like we're seeing the very end of the Deebo Samuel era, as sad as that is to say. So you have options to move money around next year before you even sign Brock. And again, as the Eagles have shown, and heck, we got a team this weekend in the Miami Dolphins. It is possible to pay everybody and still keep your playmakers. Dolphins are probably on the downside of that, though, because they have lost guys on that defense. This is where the Kyle Shanahan trust comes in. This is where I'm going to call it the Kyle Shanahan paradox, where you could have zero faith in Kyle Shanahan in some areas, but a lot of faith in others. You know, if you're trusting Kyle Shanahan to find talent in the draft to put around Brock Purdy, then you should not be that hesitant about the money that Brock's going to get, because it is possible to still find talent and put it around him. Is it difficult? Of course, but it's the NFL. Things are difficult in the NFL, and that is why John Lynch, Parag Marat, and Kyle Shanahan are paid to make, you know, to make the decisions that they make. So I get that trepidation about paying Brock. I'm not fully bought in on the idea that paying Brock Purdy kneecaps your roster.
Swear to God, if you bring Parag Marat up again, so help me, Sam Lubman.
Coming up next.
8 o'clock, Danny Hollywood Rabinovitz, co-host of the Joe Rose Show on our Odyssey sister station out Miami, 560 WQAM. We're going to preview this Dolphins-Niners game because, yes, the 49ers season's not over, folks. We got 3 games to go here still, and there is still a lot to play for, even if they aren't going to the playoffs. So Danny going to be joining us, 560 WQAM, coming up at 8 o'clock. Cannot wait for that conversation because I would like to know his thoughts, too, from an outsider's perspective all the way on the other coast there. His thoughts on Kyle Shanahan right now and after this season, because I still think his stock is very high when it comes to the league. I know right now locally it's not, but I still think nationally when it comes to people in Chicago, people in Carolina, they would love to have a guy like Kyle Shanahan. But we're seeing a Kyle Shanahan disciple not doing very well right now with Mike McDaniel. He's gone to 2 playoffs, gotten bounced in the first round, both of those. The first one was Skylar Thompson, wasn't really great. Last year, they got humbled very much so in the cold against Kansas City. So love to get his thoughts there. Let's wrap up these calls before the injury report, though. Let's go to John in the city. What's going on, John? Who do you have the most trust in, or who do you have the least amount of trust in when it comes to Kyle Lynch and Brock Purdy? What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Just in general, this regime is beginning to lose me, but I least trust John Lynch. I mean, how are you, a great defensive guy back in the day in your playing days? And as a GM, you don't give importance to the nose tackle position. You know, there was a Buckner at one point. You let him walk. You found DJ Jones, another great nose tackle, and you let him walk too. And not only that, how do you construct a team when you're trying to be physical? You want to be a physical running team, right? But you got this middle quarterback with average arm, and you got all these little wide receivers with average speed. I don't get it. You look all over the NFL, everybody's got big guys that could run like the wind. And yeah, they got small dudes as a wide receiver, but they got small dudes with lightning speed. You know what I mean? So I don't really get what's going on with the 49ers. And
real quick, John, I don't mean to cut you off. What I don't get is why Jonathan in San Francisco is going by John in the city these days. You changing your name up on me, Jonathan? What's going on here?
No, I told him I'm Jonathan. I'm always Jonathan.
Oh, see, Matt, that's an L for Matt Nahegan, because this is a legendary caller, Matt. Jonathan in San Francisco joining us here
on
the Morning Roast. Continued, Jonathan. I didn't mean to cut you off there, bud.
So, yeah, at the minimum, I want them to get a new GM. Jed has to fire John Lynch, because I think Kyle Shanahan needs a boss. The team needs a boss, bro, in the sense that, you know, somebody has to tell Debo, bro, you're not coming out with that boombox. We lost the damn Super Bowl, you know? And how do you have a podcast? What are you going to talk about in your podcast anyway? How not to run a good route? I don't get it, bro. With all this selfishness going on in the building, it doesn't make sense to me. So, for me, hit the reset button now. Because how do you have a contract guru in Parag Maradve, but you got fleeced by 4 players? If I was a GM, I would have never signed Debo because he's a gimmick guy. Gimmicks don't last. It's not sustainable. You know, he's a running back. He's not a wide receiver. But you paid him $28 million. Next year, he's going to make $32 million as a wide receiver.
Thank you. That's Jonathan in San Francisco, a.k.a. John in the city, 888-957-9570. I get it. The Debo Samuel thing, what's frustrating to me, and I don't think anyone really brings this up, but he's been in the league now for quite some time, and he has never graduated from a gadget player. He never, I don't know if he works on his route running in the offseason or what, but he has not improved in that area at all, which is crazy to me considering you have one of the best route runners as a teammate in Brandon Ayuk, who was second team All-Pro last year. It seems like he wanted to just hone in on his craft as being a wide back, quote unquote. The problem is there, you're not a running back and you're not really a wide receiver. So you're in that kind of gray area. you have to hang your hat on something when it comes to either one of those. So either lean in on the running back portion or on the route running portion of a wide receiver, or else you're in that Cordero Patterson zone. And what have we seen with Cordero Patterson? Is he even in the league anymore?
He bounced around a lot.
Yeah, he's gone.
You talk about the route running. I mean, Debo, he's so great after the catch, too. If you improve that level of your game, it opens up that as well. Debo is never profiled as a legitimate, like, you know, go deep, get open receiver. Solid number two, but I think we're at the point where Debo's going to be going into his age 29 season next year. In NFL years, that's kind of on the older end of the spectrum there. You probably got one, maybe two serviceable seasons left. That's why I just...
Oh.
You're absolutely right, Priest. Maybe you're Dave Stewart. I don't know.
He does sound like Dave Stewart.
He does. It's
so good.
I want to get them on the scene.
This is stinking from the head up.
You see, I have no idea who that was. But no, that's why I just feel like we're seeing the end of Debo. He's going to be on a different team next year. He'll probably give them a good year. But it sucks because Debo's been a very fun player to watch. But it's run its course with him.
Real quick, Sammy, I want to get a squeeze Jan in Mountain View. She's one of our best callers here. Jan, what's going on? You're almost Spadoni and Lumen in for Bonta and Chasky in the Morning Roast. Who do you trust the most or who do you trust the least with Lynch, Shanahan, and Purdy?
Well, what I want to bring, and I'll make it short, and that would be is that Shanahan needs to reinvent his offense because everybody is caught up in the league and play man-to-man, and the only thing that he's shown Brock on how to do well is how to defend against the zone. And if we're going to go any further, that's what he needs to reinvent during the off season is to train Brock on how to know how to defend against zone. I mean, man-to-man, yeah. And be able to go forward. Otherwise, forget it.
Thank you, Jan. We're up against it. Don't mean to cut you off there. But yeah, the sticky man coverage is a problem with this 49ers run zone scheme and their passing ability. It just hasn't been able to work when you're going up against the likes of Steve Spagnuolo, Brian Flores, and some of these other defenses that will bully you when it comes to man-to-man coverage. Injury report time.
Time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, real quick here with the injury report. Moses Moody will miss a third straight game tonight. Memphis, knee tendonitis. Marcus Smart is doubtful for the Grizzlies, and John Morant is questionable. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Danny Hollywood Rabinovitz, co-host of the Joe Rose Show on our Odyssey sister station, 560 WQAM. We'll preview some 49ers and some Dolphins on 95.7 The Game. Spadoni, Lubman, Morning Roast, back at you next.